organize the perspective. So we started off actually by asking five questions. There were really five real life questions that have been posed over the past few years by people involved in medicine. First question was the one that appears in that handout. I hope, well, it's not essential, but if you have the previous handout, we're still going to look at it. So on the front is this very complicated chayla that somebody is asking Rav Asher Weiss. Very interested to hear what he has to say. We'll see. But basically, for now, before we get to the understanding of that chayla in depth, it essentially was asking, how is it mutter to go into medicine from a perspective that you'll definitely or very, very likely in whatever facet of medicine you go into at some point be mechal Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh? And this question, as was posed, that is correctly posed, is particularly going to be difficult in a setting of treating non-bnei bris, not just Yisrael, but anochri also. And that gives it a particular flavor that we'll be talking about. So that's question number one. Question number two, as related to Shomer Shabbos residencies or not, and fellowships. How essential is it? How absolutely is it necessary to do a Shomer Shabbos residency? It's obviously, I'm assuming everybody agrees, desirable and preferable for many reasons. But Al Pidin, how absolutely essential is it? Is it something you have to give up medicine over or not? And the same thing on a different, because of the reality of the difference between residencies and fellowships, he asked the same question on a fellowship. Mainly, there are no real Shomer Shabbos fellowships available that are worth going to tell you the truth, that I know of. But that would be question number two. Question number three is a very commonly asked question, which is persons on call and you know, not too many residencies are doing it this way, but fellowships certainly do it this way. And beyond fellowships, if you're on call on Shabbos and you have patients that you know are critically ill and very, very high probability, karov levadai, that you're going to need to go in on Shabbos, are you allowed to go home? You know Friday before Shabbos that this is going to happen. In 95-98% chance you're going to be coming in to take care of somebody on Shabbos. Do you have a heter to go home with that knowledge? What ups the stakes even more is the fourth question, which is, let's say it's a shift, like an ER shift, or you're on call in an ICU where everybody rounds in the ICU, you know, on every day, and you know you're definitely going to need to come back, right? You're on Shabbos, you're not on Friday, right? It's a common scenario. So, well, not if you're in Shabbos residency, but otherwise. And certainly in fellowships, this is common. You can go home Friday, but there's a shift, there's a requirement that you be on rounds the next day. Are you allowed to go home under those conditions? And there is a big difference between questions number three and number four. And then question number five was, how much preparation do you have to do in anticipation of issues that will arise when you're on call on Shabbos? So what was the common denominator we decided to all five of these questions was all of them involved to some degree putting yourself in a position where you're ultimately going to be Mechal Shabbos Beheter because it's Pikuach Nefesh, but it's something that is potentially avoidable. What's the Havamina? Why should it be possibly that I'm not allowed to do that? Because the overwhelming majority of opinion is that Chilul Shabbos Mishum Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya, not Hotra. And the simple understanding of Dechuya is Yimesh Shabbinyan Acher, you avoid Dechuya Sa'isr with the Matir. And since that's true, we understand very, very well that one should try possibly to avoid at all costs being in a position where you can use the heter to be docher the Chilul Shabbos. In fact, we then saw that although this is never handled in Shas, this Shiloh specifically, Rav Yehuda HaChassid is the earliest source for the idea that he suggests that a woman in her ninth month of pregnancy make very serious efforts to prepare for the possibility that she'll be giving birth on Shabbos and have to be Mechal Shabbos and various things. And it's carried over to the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, Shira Shabbos Kilchasa. Everybody quotes this halacha, right? Even the Lashon Aser, right? It's very interesting. It's not necessarily something that should be understood that way, especially according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that it's an iser not to, right? But it is something that is, or chayiv, a woman is chayiv to prepare in every way possible. So it's a very strong language because it's a very accepted halacha. But Rav Shlomo Zalman drew the line. He said, hold it. It's not absolutely, you know, every tircha in the world you have to do. Ad kach, that a woman in her ninth month, maybe she should have to move out of her house, move close to the hospital where she'll be delivering, right? And facilitate not having to be Mechal Shabbos at all and go right in. I remember when I was having my discussion, my major discussion with Rav Schechter about this Shomer Shabbos residencies and this whole inyan. So he told me very proudly about his wife when she was on more than one occasion giving birth, going into labor on Shabbos. They live in the Heights, right? Bennett Avenue. She would just walk down to Columbia. Not a walk I would take. Maybe with a tank or something I would do. I don't know, but, you know, so there didn't surprise me the Shitasa, as we'll see, Rav Schechter and Rebbetzin Schechter, the Shitasa, they felt that was the right way to go. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, says, hold it a second. You know, we're not talking about being matriach yourself to save someone's life. That's Pshita, right? Latam adam reacha, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zafayin Gimel, Pashut, you know, it learns Veshavos Salo, Latam adam reacha, why do we need two makaros to teach you, dafka, that you should be matriach yourself very seriously to save someone's life? That for sure, but Rav Shlomo Zalman goes to pains to make sure we realize that's not the issue here. The issue here is being matriach yourself to avoid using pikoch nefesh to be doch yisurim. It's a very different idea. It's, why should I have to? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it says v'chai v'hem, you're supposed to live. That's a very serious heter. It's a very serious mitzvah to save people's lives. And he stresses this over and over again in the baseline tshuva and in many other places where he talks about this, until he comes to the conclusion that one is not required to be matriach themselves to avoid using pikoch nefesh and the mitzvah of hatzalah to be doch yisurim. And that's his basic shita. It's almost like, and he says this, it's not tchuya anymore. He says, even though we say it's tchuya, it's hutcher legamre. You know, it's almost, I would love to have an opportunity to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, in what sense is it tchuya anymore? Right? Because there's very little left. The only thing you could say is maybe he would say the shita sarama, that we should try to do it b'shinoi, and we should try to do it, you know, Yidei Nochri and Efshar, those kind of things. That's still an element of being Dechuya as opposed to Hutra. But otherwise, when it comes to what we normally consider the essential marker of Dechuya versus Hutra, he says, not really true. And all the ramifications that fall from that. So in his tshuva, he's immediately talking about, I don't need to wake up somebody to avoid Dechuya Sisurim. Be Docha the Isser, Mishum Pikor Nevesh, rather than avoid Dechuya Sisur and be Matriach somebody by waking them up. It's a very, very striking chiddush, but he's very consistent with it, and he holds that way.
It sounds like the borderline between Dechuya and Hutra is just a quantitative one, like Shabbos is Dechuya, so you should try to avoid violating Shabbos, but you know there are limits exactly where. But it sounds like if it's really annoying, it's Hutra.
Well, it's basically what he's saying. In effect, that's the psalm.
So it is
the Maisa. That's the psalm.
Not to the extent that you have to do.
Yeah, but that's a little funny thing to do. You know, yeah, normally we don't do that. Normally, the chuyah is the chuyah, hutra is hutra. The chuyah means, don't do it, right? By tzorcha chonefesh, we don't play such games, right? You better be matriach yourself, because there we could just say, okay, now it's us, so you can't have that. You can't be mevashel. If you could have been, whatever the particular isser is that you're trying to do, since the Ramah holds like Rashi, Tzorcha Chol Nefesh is the Chuyah, then you're not, we paskin, you can't do it. It's us right now. You should have been Matriach yourself.
It's clearly different from Chol Nefesh, because in Chol Nefesh, if you didn't cook yesterday, you didn't thresh wheat yesterday, you can't do it today. Whereas if you didn't prepare for Chol Nefesh yesterday, and now it's Shabbos, and
so that's our budget, by the way. There's a Chochma Shlomo that says there's like a penalty. It's an unbelievable thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein like says, what? You know, he's like, whoa, is taken aback, as we all should be, by the possible havamina that if you're nichshol in this, in the responsibility to avoid the situation, that mamish, okay, tough, you get a sakana, you can't be mechal shabbos then. It seems a little odd, but we don't pass them that way, for sure. You certainly, like you said, absolutely. If push came to shove and you did the wrong thing, you can be Mechal Shabbos. Yes. Save the life. All right. So that was with Shomel Zalman. Now, what's Yotzi from Shomel Zalman is already nafkaminas on some of our questions. Really, the final, fourth and fifth, in terms of preparation. So that's where Shlomo Zalman makes a big point. He says you should prepare. He's very meduyach. He says it's a nice thing to do. It's an important thing to do. Yesh li zaher, you know, that type of lashon. He doesn't use the lashon you're chayev to do this by the pregnant woman. He says that you should prepare everything you possibly can. It's the right thing to do. It's a lechatchila, right? And you should do it. But you definitely don't have to move in there, right? She doesn't have to get up and move and do things like that. He thinks that that would be an absurd expectation. And the same thing for somebody who's on call on Shabbos, you really should, and this is what Shmir Shabbos quotes in those halachas that are in that handout, a whole bunch of nafkaminas where you should do things as much as possible that are reasonable. You don't have to be matriarch yourself like crazy, as we'll see Rav Sholem Zalman's Heterim develop. However, we saw that Rav Moshe felt very differently. Rav Moshe understood the chuya more kipshuto, even though he knows that it's not completely the chuya, right? There's definitely some of the other normal nafkaminas of the chuya are not present, right? We have to try al yidei shinoi. We have to try al yidei. We have to. If you don't have a guy and you don't have shinoi, you can do it. Whatever you need to do, right? Absolutely. And if there's going to be a waste of time or any delay, even if it might not necessarily cause the sakana to increase significantly, if there's any shemits of a possibility, right? But he says when it comes to dechuyah, their main manifestation is exactly our discussion. The main manifestation, he says, is that we have to do whatever we can to avoid being in the position of using pikuach nefesh b'doch yisurim. You have to, you know, all those things about don't be listed in the phone book, hide, right? Do whatever you can not to be on. Switch call, definitely with a non-Jew. Switch call with a non-firm Jew, right? Do whatever you can to get out of it. That's its own shaila, how he gets around the problem of Lifnei Iver, but we're not going to talk about that now. But definitely Rav Moshe felt that it's dechuya, dechuya, dechuya. And for example, absolutely on question number 3, which is quoted in Shmir Shabbos, and the footnote brings in the kula of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe would say, if you have a possibility that's high, that you're going to be needed in the hospital the following day, you cannot go home. You must stay in the hospital. You can't go home knowing that the high probability is, right? What is it? How does he define high probability? You have a patient who is a patient that is a chola sheish basakana, who's in the hospital, and is your patient and your responsibility. Don't go home. You got to stay there because the likelihood is you're going to have to do something for him. You'll have to run in for him. Any of the Chilul Shabbos, even the Rabbanan Chilul Shabbos, not just the Raisa Chilul Shabbos, you are in a position where you have an achrayus to avoid it. It's the chuya. You got to stay in the hospital. Now, according to this, so you should avoid it altogether. You can't take call. You can't be on call on Shabbos, right? That seems to be the pashtus. So what we saw was, no, there's a little wiggle room because of another tshuva of Rav Moshe. Right? Rav Moshe in, I think it's Kuf Lamed Aleph in Arachayim, says the following. He says the shaila over there was this issue that I just raised. Person lives far away, right? And is he allowed to go home? So first, the shitaso, he says, no, you can't go home. You have to stay. You have to make arrangements. And even if it means you're not going to have Onik Shabbos, you still got to stay because that's tafel to this issue of not being docha the iser, not being chal Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh. You have to really stay in. However, he says, what if you're home? What if the circumstances where you couldn't set it up, you couldn't get to stay in the hospital? There was no accommodations, and you'd have to stay in the street and be up all night. So he says, avadai, we know, and the Gemara says that even a mechanech. He's not supposed to stay up all night because he's got to be sharp. He's got to know what he's talking about, right? You got to be careful if you're doing chinuch and medicine. It's a rough combination to a certain degree because you run into this sometimes. But during the year, whenever I come in, I worry about this a little. But I give a share at Landers, and like that week, I'm like sleeping like 2 hours a night. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. I can't forget. But anyway. So Rav Moshe says, just like a mechanic, kal v'chomer, a doctor can't be, you should remember, this is a very important yisod in Rav Moshe, I'm telling you, it's going to come in handy one day. Rav Moshe applies this yisod in other contexts too, about, we'll see when we talk about running up lots of stairs, right, as opposed to taking an elevator when you're on call on Shabbos in the hospital. We're going to talk about that. There's going to be, it's a very famous, I call it the Dr. Rosner Heter, because he popularized it. He said, I bet you all think, I'll never forget it, I was like your age, and Dr. Rosner was giving like a shiur, and he says, I bet you all think that if you're on call on Shabbos in the hospital, you have to run upstairs all the time. He says, so did I. And he describes how he was going up and down stairs, and then he spoke to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe said, what are you doing? You're not going to be able to take care of the people properly. And he was matir for him, let's say under, you know, obviously you have to work out the details, but you don't put yourself in a position where you're not going to be effective as a doctor. So if that means sleeping outside on the street, don't do it. It's a stupid thing to do. It's chasid chota. Don't do that. Rav Moshe says that person can go home. All right, now the person's at home. There's 1,000 doctors in the hospital, but the chola needs somebody, right? But now, if it's your private patient, davar pashut, he's your responsibility, al pidin, right? Because a person is not zochat de lisrapos, mikol adam. You're the designated doctor. So if it's a private practice, your private patient, nothing to talk about. Rav Moshe is b'chadesh more than that. He says, or you're the doctor called. It almost has a mystical quality to it, right? I don't want to read too much into it, but when I was trying to figure it out, like, I understand this principle of ein adam zocha lisrapos mikol adam, and, you know, it's definitely got metaphysical connotations, right? Could be, because it doesn't mean that you're the best doctor in the world. It means you are the chosen doctor, right? Chosen. Now, the only thing that trumps the chosen is the best doctor in the world, right? That would, right? But let's say all doctors are equal, right? So, and you're the chosen one, either because it's a private patient, for sure, but Rav Moshe is Mechadish, or you're called. Now, if you're on call, you're going to be called, right? So you're the chosen one. Now that you're the chosen one, that does allow for you to go in, Rav Moshe writes, because now it becomes your mitzvah. Formerly, Dechuya said, let the doctors in the hospital do it. You don't go in. You stay home. Let those guys do it. Whoever's there, they can handle it. They're as good as me. No, it doesn't. It's okay. Even though they're as good as you, Rav Moshe is matir, using this principle. So this is a very, very big chiddush, but it opens up the door a little, that now, at least, if we had a situation where the entire service was Jewish, right? If that was our only issue, we're on call just for Jews, you know, like, everybody, I suggest, come to Eretz Yisrael. We sometimes get that. But not really, not too often these days in Eretz Yisrael either. But a better shot than here. At least you'll have Rove. You'll have Rove of the Cholim can be Jewish. Here, that's a very unusual circumstance. So we have to really start the discussion a little differently. We can say that if we have a fully Jewish practice, again, Rav Shlomo Zalman has no problem with us being on call in the first place. He says the mitzvah of Hatzalah allows you to be on call, mistama, because there's nothing wrong with saving people's lives and being Mechal Shabbos. You're not chayev, it's not usher for you to do, it's a mitzvah for you to do. You shouldn't switch your call with a non-Jew. You shouldn't switch your call with a non-from Jew, that's for sure. That's an Avera, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And you could take the call. And you, as long as you follow the rules, according to the Pashut Pshat, Rav Shlomo Zalman, if it's a Jewish practice in its entirety, you're good to go. And now we've kind of, using that a person is not Zocha the Lisrapos, we call Adam, we can even work Rav Moshe into this Heter as well. However, and now we're ready for the... Oh, I wanted to mention one more thing. Whoever has this handout, you know, when this issue of Ein Adam Zocha the Lisrapos, we call Adam... issue comes up, so it is a bit of a machlokis whether you really can use that principle to override other isurim, right? And remember, for Rav Moshe, to put yourself in a position where you're going to use pikul nevesh to be docha isurim is an isur. You're not allowed to do it. Because pikul nevesh is dechuya, Rav Moshe says you're not allowed to put yourself into that position where you're going to do it. Mi'ikar hadin. Now the question is, that ikar hadin isur, can it be overridden by the principle of Ein Adam Zocha Lisrapos Mikol Rofe? Can that override it? So the Achronim, the poskim, discuss whether this principle is able to override many different Isurim. Right? We talked about some of them. Nida, Kohen being Metame Lemes, an Avel going out during Shiva, a son treating a father with an invasive procedure that will cause bleeding, which is an issa daraisa, right? All those things, can I say, but I'm the chosen one. And if I'm the chosen one, right? Ein adam zochel l'ravus mikol adam, and that's, I'm the one. So it's a mitzvah for me. Does that principle override it? Because the source of that principle is not involving any overriding of Yisurin. That's why it's not a pashut thing. The source of it was by a neder. Someone was made a neder not to have anyone be, a particular person get hana from them. And the question is, can they, with this Isser hana that they created, can they give them refuah? So, if it's hanas stam, no. If it's hanas mitzvah, yes. So there, the Gemara learns out, because ein adam zochel l'sarpos mikol adam, it makes it into a mitzvah, that now you could say it's not hana, there's no hana, and you're allowed to do it for him. That's different, and this is what Ravozner argues, that's very different than using that principle to now start overriding other Isurim that exist. And Ravozner says you can't. He quotes the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer and Ravozner said, not happening. So Mistama, they would not, if they were holding like Rav Moshe in our issue, they would say, tough, you cannot even be on call, you know, just give it up. Get a Shomer Shabbos residency, and let the others take care of Shabbos. That would actually be the psalm. However, Rav Moshe himself, and the Tzitz Eliezer, and others don't feel that way. They feel that you can use this principle even to be overriding other Isurim, and therefore this will be no different. You can override this Isur of putting yourself in a position for a Jew to be using Pikul Nefesh B'doch Isurim. Okay, so that's the end of that. One other thing Rav Rosner mentions that is very, very important for us, especially in the ending of our discussion. I just want to point it out now while the handout is handy, if you have it, on page 10. The real Shiloh, I'll say it outside, it's not that important. The real Shiloh Rav Rosner was asked was, a Kohen wants to join Hatzalah, he wants to be part of the gang, right? Even though, inevitably, it might happen that he's going to be Matami Lameis. Or even at least, at the very least, in the presence of a goses, which is an Isser in the Shulchan Aruch also, right? There's an Isser Tamei Lameis, being Ba'ohel, being Maga, being Masa Lameis, and then there's a separate Isser that a Kohen should not be in a room with a goses. So can the Kohen do this? So on that issue of Wozner, even though he's Machmir on the whole idea of putting himself in a position of using Adam Zocha, in Adam Zochem, we call Adam the Yisrapos, even though he's machmir on that, he says, nevertheless, he can become a doctor, which is an amazing thing. He's saying a Kohen, obviously they didn't have an anatomy lab back then, and all the innate and intrinsic problems for a Kohen of going to medical school, where there is no chiyah for him to go to medical school, there's no mitzvah for him to go to medical school, right? That old thing. And yet, the Rav Ozner quotes the Chasam Sofer that a Kohen can go to medical school. Why? As long as you're going to avoid, you know, all the things we just mentioned, the fact that you may one day inevitably end up with a mace or with a goses is not considered that you're putting yourself in a position to use pikuach nefesh to be docha the iser of tumah lemace. It's not a vada, right? And that's going to be very important. You have to really get that to sink in, right? It's so far removed, right? Remember, the tension, let's just get to a little more nitty-gritty. The tension here is what? What's with this whole din? What's Rav Moshe's din, or this din altogether? Why is it usur to put yourself in a position where you're going to use pikuach nefesh to be doch yisrael? What are we worried about? What's so terrible? Yeah, in effect, it's like you're masnal la Shabbos. You're like saying, you know, Shabbos is not that important because I'm going to proactively put myself, allow for me to be Michal Shabbos with using this backdoor hetter. And that's just not, that's improper behavior. The more distant you are from that statement, the more room there's going to be for clueless. And that's what Rav Wozner is communicating here in the context of the Kohen case. But we're going to borrow this. We're going to borrow it because it's going to be very important when we get to the big shiloh about becoming a doctor altogether. All right. Now, everything changes, and that was all one discussion. But in order to answer the main questions here about being a doctor in the United States of America, where you're going to might, we're going to a residency where you're going to have rove your patients are not Jewish. I'm trying very hard to use the right expressions here for this recording, but for non-B'nai Bris, why is the Shiloh completely different when it comes to non-B'nai Bris? So we have to understand it's going to be. It's a new issue that comes to the fore when we talk about this. In order to do that, and I thought that it's really important to go over in general the whole sugya in abbreviated form of refuah for non-B'nai Bris. I think everybody should know about it and should have a proper non-immature perspective on this issue.
Just a quick question on Moshe.
Yeah.
So are we basically just saying that he, that Moshe just draws the line a little bit further than like it wasn't around the himself?
Well, no, because there'll be other differences. Now, in other words, like if you're in a position where clearly, and he says this Mefarish in Kuflam and Allah, if you're in a position where you're not, it's not your private patient, and you're not called, right? And and then it's not so simple to apply this to scenarios. A bunch of guys were asking me this last week of being on call, right? You have to say like, well, where does that point come where it's mutter to enter, right? So I had to construct like this, and the only way I can understand Rav Moshe is I agree to be part of the service. That's mutter, right? I'm thinking, okay, not on Shabbos. Now it comes time to be on Shabbos. So I'm already now the designated person. I made myself the designated person by being part of the service. Then I could say, Zochel or Lisrapo, Zainadim Zochel, Lifaz, Mikola, Rofe. Then now I'm in, now I'm chosen. But it's not so pashut that that's true, that whole reasoning, number one. And if you eliminate this, then Rav Moshe is the Chumra, right? In other words, you won't be able to be on Shabbos. And if, for example, he says, in his main tshuva on the Sain test, so he says that, okay, your patients, you're going to be responsible for, you don't hide from them. Everyone else, you should hide from. And you have a chiyuv not to be being Mechal Shabbos for anyone who is not connected to you and knows of you already that would be able to designate you in this fashion. And it would be us or for you.
So basically like ER.
That's a great example, right? Exactly, that'd be a problem. It's very hard unless you're the ER shift, then you became the designated person. But yeah, it'd have to be worked out exactly. You know, that shift is made up, you know, quite early. So, are you just saying I'm on ER, and then we make up the schedule that includes Shabbos? So you're right. It's a very, that would be an interesting one to try to make the application. Good to fall back on Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's a good thing Shmir Shabbos is going there, Shlomo Zalman, for the most part, also. But things even get more difficult to work with when you're working with Rove non-B'nai Bris. So let's talk about that. I think that there's a lot to be said about this, but I'm going to try to hone in on the essentials. Okay, so we once mentioned last week that when it comes to treating a Yisroel, there are three mitzvahs asay and two mitzvahs los asay. What is unifying feature of all those mitzvahs? They either use the expression achicha or re'echa, right? V'tamar adam re'echa, right? V'chay achicha imach, right? V'hafta the re'echa kamocha. Each one of these sources of a chiyuv to treat a Yisrael uses that, and that's why it's dafka a Yisrael. So what does this mean? Nothing's left for the treatment of a non-B'nai Bris. So starting point is there is no mitzvah to treat non-B'nai Bris. Everyone feel good about that? Well, what about it being usher? Maybe it's even usher, right? Whoa, could that be? I saw this article written by somebody. I'm happy that it didn't get published because I think he was making a big mistake. He was quoting this Gemara that's on the front page here. He was quoting the halacha from this Gemara, but he quoted it, I think, incorrectly. He defined akum as any non-B'nai Bris. Generically, which I think is incorrect. There really are three categories that we have to deal with when it comes to non-B'nai Bris. The first one is the one over here on Daf Chafav in Avodah Zarah, where it says actually lo malid, which means, right, it's the bottom line on the daf, when it comes to an Oved Avodah Zarah, a person who's mamish an Oved Avodah Zarah, that person, there is an Isser to be give him refuah. It's Usser, right? It's manifest, you can't, it's the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael lo tiyalad es Ovedes Kochavim, and you can't be Meinika, can't be Meinika, the child. Why? Because you're not supposed to be raising children and people towards Avodah Zarah. Right? That's the Ikar Adin. That's the Halacha. And, you know, the Rama passes this way, the Shulchan Aruch passes this way. Any exceptions? Anytime you can treat even a Hindu or a Buddha, Buddhist, or an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? Eva, right? Eva, this Takana gets accepted, right? It's in this Gemara, that's where it comes from, the whole Sugya Deva is on the staff. And Mishum Eva, then you're allowed to. So if you cannot come up with a reasonable explanation why you're not, that explains how you're not chauvinistic in being willing to, let's say, be the midwife for the Yisraelis, but not for the Ovedes Kochavim, then you're allowed to, right? Oh, and then maybe you should do it for money, because that's always an excuse, why only do it for money, right? So you're allowed to say that. If you could be Mishtamet, you still should be Mishtamet, the Ikar Din. But otherwise, Eva is a reason to do it. So at the end of the day, when it comes to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right, and some exist today, right, we can't treat them because of Eva, right? But Mikar Adin, we shouldn't. Okay, we'll see if that's the final word on it. What's the next category? So if you turn the page, just on the bottom of page 2, right? So there was the Gemara Gittin and Tosfos that talks about this Eva business a little more in the Ovid of Avodah Chachamim. There's the Aradea Shulchan Aruch where it tells you the halacha that we just said. Then I wanted you to see on the bottom of the famous Gemara Gittin, Tana Rabbanan, Mefarnesim Aniye Nochrim Im Aniye Yisrael, Mevakrim Chole Nochrim Im Chole Yisrael, Kovrim Mesei Nochrim Im Mesei Yisrael, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. What kind of halacha is this? So this halacha, you know, I always thought of in my naivete, right? It's clearly a different sugya. This isn't Eva. This is saying something nice and positive in the treatment of Nochrim. It's not saying Ovid Avodah Zarah. That's one conspicuous thing, right? Although you never know what's going on with the censors and all that stuff. But it's telling me Mishum Darkei Shalom. Maybe Darkei Shalom is a very affirming thing. It's a positive, right? I wanna promote Shalom, not just avoid Eva. So I should be nice. And maybe the point is, okay, Ovid Avodah Zarah, no. But Estam Nochri, yes. But we'll see, that's really not necessarily going to hold up in a moment. However, on page 3, there is something that's definitive. No guessing. And it's a din daraisa, ger toshav. What is the din by a ger toshav? So the Torah says, v'ki yomuch achicha umata yado imach, v'chazak dabo, ger v'sosha v'cha imach. Right? And the sifra over there on the left tells me ger v'toshav is talking about a ger toshav, not a ger tzedek, not someone who has converted, but there is this din of a chayimach by a non-bnei bris who's not Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but is a ger toshav. How far does it go? Well, both the Ramban and the Rambam learned there's a chiyuv daraisa of hatzala by a ger toshav. You have to say that. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for, if it's a ger toshav, to give them refuah, to save them. And the Ramban, although this is a little controversial, but I think the Pashtus is going to be the way I'm about to say it, there are those that disagree, says you can even be Mechalel Shabbos for a Ger Toshav. That's a bit of a Chiddush, but not such a big Chiddush, because it seems to be, to me, Pashtus Pshat, what do you say? Right? I'll read it. He says, Mitzvah Tesayin in the Hosafos to the Sefer Mitzvos, Shenitzavinu Lachyos Ger V'Toshav, La'atzilo Miraso, She'imaya Nitva Banahar, O Nafal Alav Hagal, right? Of course, a Jew and a Ger Tzedek, we have to do all those nice things too. V'hu Bahem, and the Shaila here, the little bit of a controversy is, who's the Bahem talking about, right? I'll maintain that it's all three. Some people say, no, that's just those last two, but not the Ger Toshav. The reason I say it's all three is, right? the pasuk is talking about the Yatosha. Pasuk Trat to me is the Ramban really meant it. The Ramban meant all three, you can be Mechal Shabbos. Good. Makes me feel very westernly comfortable. Now, how far does it go? We'll have to see. The Rambam clearly disagrees. Not on the Hatzalah and the Refuah part, but the Rambam, if you look on the next page, is Mefurish in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, Miyaldin Esa Ovdos Kochavim Umazalos B'Shabbos V'Filu B'Schar V'Ein Choshishin Le'eva V'Alfa Pi She'Ein Sham Chilu Aval Miyaldin Mispas Ger Tosha V'Ipnei She'anu Metzuvin L'Achyoso But Ein Mechalin Aleos HaShabbos. Rambam is explicit. Even the great Ger Tosha, I'm not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for. Right? Interesting philosophical discussion as to what's behind this halacha, but at the end of the day, that's Mikar Din, the truth. Right? Rambam says no by the Ger Toshav, the Ramban says yes. This is going to be very, very important in a few moments.
I just have a question we said earlier, break down the three categories. Mm-hmm. So the Ramban on the Rambam on page 3, so at the end, it says, Afilu Akim Tzilacham Vaka Cholim, talking about the previous.
Yes, Kara. That was the problem. That's exactly what I meant. It's not so simple as in my naivete I said that Darkei Sholem meant positive. From this Rambam, it's mashma, it's like just the corollary to Eva and the whole thing, right? Is that what you're going to say? Yes, exactly. Right? Hear what he's pointing out. Thank you, because I forgot to say it. Right? The Rambam over here sort of clarifies that all those things that I said Mishum Darkei Sholem might be some new level of niceness is really not necessarily true, according to the Rambam at least, because he says that all was applying to an Akum, who we know has the limitations. So it must be Mishum Eva, that's what it means. Okay, very good. Anyway, getting back to us, let's summarize what we got. We have, when it comes to treatment of non-Bnei Bris, we have on the one end an Akum, who it's an Isser, really, to give refuah to. And we have a Ger Toshav, which everybody agrees, Rambam Ramban, it's a mitzvah to give treatment to. What's the problem? Who are we dealing with? Are we dealing with an Akum? Occasionally. Are we dealing with a Ger Toshav? Mistama no, right? Pashtus no. Pashtus, we're not dealing with Ger Toshavim today. Why do I know that? The Rambam on the bottom of page 4 from Yisurid Bia says the following. Halacha Ches. Ein bekalbim Ger Toshav ele bizman shayovel noheg. Bizman hazeh afilo kibel alav kol haTorah kula. Chutz medikduk echad ein bekalbim osa. If he's bekalbim kol haTorah kula, he becomes a Ger, right? Not a Ger Toshav. Like you had said that. So the Rambam is telling me we cannot technically create a Ger Toshav today. So that brings up a very, very important shaila for all of us. How do we view the treatment of contemporary non-Bnei Bris? Assuming they're not Akum. Let's say they're very, very nice, right? I mean, you know, there are some nice Hindus and nice Buddhists also, right? But let's say they're not over the Brother Zohar, they're monotheists. And their Shomer, Zion, Mrs. Menoch, they're very fine people. They would have been a Ger Toshav had the institution existed. The institution no longer technically exists. So therefore, we can't make a Ger Toshav. But what's our relationship with them? Is it a mitzvah to treat them? Is it usher to treat them? What do we do? So this becomes a very fascinating and important machlokas. So the Rov Shita is that we basically treat them like that person who I was happy he didn't publish his article. Which means that it seems, at least when it comes to Chil Shabbos, that issue, right? Well, actually, let me step back. There are two things at stake, which I really want everyone to have clear in their mind. They're two separate issues. Is it a mitzvah to treat contemporary non-Bnei Bris? That's one child. A different child is, am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for them? The reason those are two very different things is because the Chilul Shabbos takes two leaps, and the mitzvah takes one leap. In order to call it a mitzvah, what would be necessary? To call it a mitzvah to treat contemporary non-Jew, which I would really like it to be. I'll reveal myself, right? I want it to be a mitzvah. I think it should be a mitzvah, right? So what needs to be true for it to be a mitzvah? It means that despite the fact that I cannot technically call non-Bnei Bris, a Ger Toshav, based on the Rambam, one of two other things is possible. There's another sheet out there, different than the Rambam, that we could pass him on, who says you can't have a Ger Toshav today. That's one possibility. Or, even though we technically don't have a Ger Toshav, Who says that's the machriya when it comes to these halachos? Maybe these halachos don't depend on that, right? He's talking, when the Rambam said his thing about Yovel, was in a particular context. But maybe in the context of refuah and the mitzvah of refuah, if they're good, decent people that are shomer zayin b'sasnei noach, it's a mitzvah, even though they're not a ger toshas. Those are the two possibilities. Rove poskim take a very different approach. Nobody, and by the way, to say I could be mechal Shabbos, I got to do two things. I got to first make them into a ger toshav, and then paskin like whom? The Ramban against the Rambam. Does anyone do that? Let's start with that. Does anyone paskin like the Ramban against the Rambam, as well as call contemporary non-Jews ger toshav in the first place? Does anyone do both chidushim? Yes. Who? Well, we'll get there in a second. The one, let's say, first known, I'm sure Rav Aaron felt this way earlier, because he's older, but the first one to popularize the idea is Rav Nachman Rabinovich. Who's familiar with him? Male Adumim. He's a posek of some renown, right? He is the one that promotes this idea. He's the main name associated with the Shita, where he says, A, they are ger toshav, and B, we pass like the Ramban against the Rambam. And therefore he says, he thinks Dabar Pasha, that we can be, Bismaneinu, those that fit the criteria of ger toshav, we can treat them on Shabbos even and be Machal Shabbos because of that combination. No one else really does that. We'll see Rav Aaron in a moment. Perhaps he does, right? Probably he does, but his essay is not necessarily a halachic tshuva. That's the problem. But otherwise, I agree with you. I think he's certainly promoting the idea, but we'll get to him in a second. In terms of a tshuva, there's a shaila, and there's a teretz, and there's a tshuva to the shaila. That was Rav Nachman Rabinovich. But what's the popular response is the Chafetz Chaim. So page 5, right? Everyone should see this. The Chafetz Chaim wants no part of this radical stuff. Chafetz Chaim says, in fact, something very radical in the other direction. He's super radical. He says that don't tell me Eva is going to be in any way allowing, in his time, in the 19th century and early 20th century, to treat non-Bnei Bris. That's not happening. Because it would be Mamish Hashem Yishmerenu, is the Lashon he uses, because the doctors were going around doing Malach Daraisa for the purpose of saving non-Jews. And non-Bebris. And he felt it's a very, very egregious Avera. Although, very conspicuous, I got you an old Mishnah Berurah on purpose, the little star, he says, and of course I'm talking about the Hindus, right? It's very interesting that he says that. Little star, asterisk, it's not in contemporary Mishnah Berurahs, you don't have it in yours, but in the old days, there it was. And Rav Moshe makes a big deal out of that. And what's extra intriguing is if you read the Bir Halacha, he completely contradicts it, because in the Bir Halacha, when he describes who this refers to, Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim are the quintessential best non-Bnei Bris out there, believe it or not. Not the terrorists that are killing us, but a Muslim is Vaday L'Chli Alma, a monotheist, and if he's a good Muslim and a good person, fits all the criteria, and nevertheless, the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha tells me he's the guy I'm not allowed to save and do Malacha for. But over here, you know, because of censorship issues and whatever, he throws in this. Obviously, he was afraid to put it out there, which Rav Moshe is going to jump on when he says, Pela Shepek Kadosh, the Chafetz Chaim would say a psak like this. Because let me just finish with the Halacha L'maisa. So even though the Chafetz Chaim says this, Halacha L'maisa, it is not true, right? All the poskim, starting with the Chasim Sofer, and the Divrei Chaim, and Rav Moshe, and Rav Elyashev, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, and the Tzitz Eliezer, and Rav Avadja, kol echad b'peh male say, not applicable today, this whole harsh psak of the Chafetz Chaim, and we are certainly allowed to do anything necessary to treat all non-Bnei Bris. Even if you think it's completely in private, Rav Shlomo Zalman goes out of his way, we don't have a right to ever assume that no one's watching, right? And 100% it's Lamaisa Mutter. Questions?
I was wondering, the first time himself wrote the asterisk?
Good question. I don't know. But Rav Moshe treated it as though he did. Rav Moshe said, when he was, Rav Moshe was making his point, which is what? What is the matir that we can do it? That's our question right now. What's our official intent? 10? Ugh, we got to. This topic's got to end today. Rav Moshe, well, let's just ask this quickly. There are three possible reasons we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos now for non-neighbors. What are the three heter? Assuming that Mikra Adin, what they were saying for the moment, was true, why are we allowed to? So one we just said, right? What Rav Moshe and Rav Poskim say is, well, because of the way communication was, and Rav Moshe's talking early 20th century or mid-20th century, he's saying, you know, everyone's going to find out. It's very dangerous to have this policy. It'll be sakanas nefashos for the doctor himself, sakanas nefashos for Klal Yisrael, right? Somebody's going to get it somewhere, and this was driven home to me. I wish I had time to tell you a story, but we're running out of time. There was one episode in my personal, professional life that really drove this home. I'll tell anyone who stays after that this is a very important, insightful heter that they're coming up with. And therefore, the whole reason we're allowed to treat on Shabbos a non-B'nai Bris is because of Sakanas Nefashos to Jews and to the doctor himself. Going to be very important when we raise our new issue, right? What are two other possibilities? So there's the one we're not going to spend any time on, which is the Ma'arik, very famous. Malach Hashem Yisrael Ragufa, right? Rav Moshe and most of the posts can make short work of that. Doesn't make any sense. The Chetzis Shal Malacha is what counts for Malach Hashem Yisrael Ragufa. I'm not going to get into the technical things now, but we will talk a lot about Malach Hashem Yisrael Ragufa when we talk about some of the more Halach L'maisa stuff, but that answer is, Rav Avadji uses it, Tzitz Eliezer uses it, but not too many people really use that. What's the other heter? Now we can talk. The other heter is unbelievable. Is Rav Nachum Rabinovich. But what makes it unbelievable is that there is, from when I was a little medical student, comes out wrong, when I was a young medical student, one of the biggest hacks out there was what's the truth when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was put on the desert island. There, people are constantly putting him on desert islands, right? What safer would you have if you're on a desert island? Oh, the Ramban and the Chumash. What would you do on this condition in the desert island? So one of his desert island challenges was, right, what would you do if you were the only one there with the non-B'nai Bris, and it's Shabbos, and you have to save his life through Chil Shabbos, what would you really do? And there was all this rumor back and forth, and I couldn't take it anymore. I wanted to know what the truth was. So I finally had my opportunity. I was sitting there. You know, I was always a little hesitant to bother him with something like this. You know, you don't want to sound stupid when you're talking to Rav Aaron. So I said, oh, what the, well, I just got to do it already. So there I am, I'm in Gross. It was like late at night, when in the days when Rav Aaron was still like coming in. It was like 10 years ago. But he was already weak. And he's sitting there by himself with his little pile of, he used to carry his Rambams with him and his Shas with him like all over the place. And he's sitting there at the table, and I go over. Here's my big opportunity. I'm going to ask him new, Rav Aaron, what's the truth? What would you do on the desert island with this non-Jew? He looks at me, smiles, mumbled something. I could not understand it. And I had no way I had the guts to ask him to say it again. So, no answer. Finally, I read Virapo Yerape, the Einstein College of Medicine journal. And by, what's his name again? Dov Carroll. Puts out a very nice piece. And in it, to my satisfaction, he gives edus to the fact that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, all were comfortable with the following approach. So go to page 8. My teacher in Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein of Yeshivas Har Etzion, explained to me that while the views that take the first approach, which is Rov Gedol Yisrael, by the way, let's not minimize it. It is Rov Gedol Yisrael, take the first approach, that the only way we're matir is through Pikuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. However, Rav Aaron said, justifying saving the life of Gentile under certain conditions, they sidestep the fundamental issue. Rav Lichtenstein said that were he to be confronted on that desert island, right, with a case of violating Shabbos to save the life of a Gentile, he would act to save the life of the Gentile on principle, relying on those views that allow for it in principle, which is the Meiri and Rav Nachman Rabinovich, but he uses the Meiri also. The Meiri, by the way, just for The Meiri is learned in two ways. The Meiri is famous, right? All over Bava Kama, right? We have to do in Daf Yomi, but all over Shas, wherever there's a difficult sugya that has to do with an Akum. So the Meiri is famous for his pshat, right? What's his famous pshat? It's talking about Dafka, these horrible, horrible people. If you read Herodotus, the Greek, Herodotus' description of those times, of what the Ovadia brothers are all like, you get an idea of the most horrible people that you can imagine. And that's what is being referred to when they say Akam, that's Meiri Shita. But She'en lahem das klal, that's the expression he used. They have no religion whatsoever, no spirituality, no moral values. But Bizmanenu, obviously that's what he's getting at. It's different. And those halachos, all those seemingly prejudicial, and I don't believe that they are, by the way, but seemingly prejudicial halachos, you know, about the Shur Hamazik and Ashav Zaveda and Ona and Ribis and all of them, don't worry about all of those, because that's only them. But the good type of Ger Toshav type, Namnei Bris, none of that applies to, and we treat him ke'achicha, right? That's Meiri Shita. So either he's saying in the formal Ger Toshav sense, he never mentions Chil Shabbos, by the way. The Meiri does not beferish ever be matir Chil Shabbos, but Rav Nachman Rabinovich uses him to get there, and those are the Shitas, that's the Rishon, that's the backbone of the Shita, as well as that Ramban, and then using the Ger Toshav, contemporary type Ger Toshav, Bizmanenu. So, if it was only Rav Nachman Rabinovich, in all due respect, he's an Adam Gadol, you know, certainly compared to me, but you have this unbelievable group of Gedolei Yisrael not agreeing with it. However, if you throw in, for those who are Talmidim and followers of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Lichtenstein, there is a certain comfort level that can be allowed for their psak. And according to, and we'll see how far we take it, not necessarily would I take it to be Michal Shabbos, but it might open up the avenue in that they say we could treat contemporary non-Jews more like a Ger Toshav than like the Akum, and therefore it's a mitzvah to be Merapi them, right? Which is what the implication is. So it might not have a nafkamina legabi Shabbos, because we're not going to go that far. That calls for the double chiddush, right? That means we take the Ramban over the Rambam. Maybe I don't want to do that. But what can I use it for? What I can use it for is our issue. I can end up potentially using it as an avenue of, if I end up with an Isser that exists, and we'll have to pick this up next week, because it's the last handout, the new Isser that existed, because I'm treating Jews and non-Bnei Bris, is different than what we've been speaking about until now, which is Emafligin Desvina Pachos Mishloshe Yamim, which is where, not that I'm putting myself on call just to handle a pikuach nefesh that might occur, I am actually producing the pikuach nefesh myself. If I use the heter of Rov HaPoskim, that the only reason I'm allowed to treat a non-Bnei Bris is because of pikuach nefesh to me, or to Klal Yisrael, then by my doing that, by being on and taking care of them on Shabbos, I am being I am producing the pikuach nefesh. I am generating the pikuach nefesh situation myself. That is a whole nother shaila. It's a whole nother issur. Even if you held like Rav Shlomo Zalman Lagabe, the previous discussion, meaning you're allowed to do hatzalah for pikuach nefesh. In other words, you're allowed to be on call for the, and even if it's a safek karav levade that you'll end up being mechal Shabbos, but you're allowed to put yourself in that position, right, to save a Jew. But are you allowed to create the pikuach nefesh? When it comes to that first shaila, who's creating the pikuach nefesh? Shamayim. There's a machla. There's some type of medical problem. I'm not creating that. But here, if you think it through, what's happening is, according to the heter of Rov HaPoskim, that the reason I'm allowed to be mechal Shabbos for this non-Bnei Bris is because if I don't, it will create pikuach nefesh for me. So the matir of my chilul Shabbos is my pikuach nefesh. Then I put myself into a position of pikuach nefesh. It's a very different shaila. This shaila is what relates to ein mafligin besvina pachos mishloshe yamim. This is the shaila that relates, because that's what's happening over there, right? I am putting myself besakana. I'm entering a sakana, and not just putting myself on call to help someone else with their sakana. Right, I am entering and creating the sakana on myself by going on the boat. I'm entering the sakana by going out in the desert. That has a nuance to it that makes it very, very difficult. There, we're going to see it's usur to do that. It's a mefurish isur to do that. That's real masna al hashabbos. That, there's only two avenues for heter. Kodim shloshi yamim, or mitzvah. If mitzvah is going to be an avenue of heter, now it makes a big deal. Is it a mitzvah to treat a non-beiris? Or not a mitzvah to treat a non-beiris? We'll pick this up. I'm giving you just a taste, but we'll put it all together more coherently. As just Hashem next week, and we'll hopefully do this very quickly in like 10 minutes. And then move on to the next issue. Is again, I'll bring in a new email. This email was an incredible email by a woman who is doing a neurology fellowship. I think she's doing neurology residency. She had a whole series of questions about writing and using computers and all those types of inyana. Very, very important. Very nogeya, because they're very oft repeated questions as well. Okay, stop there.
Tell the story.
Okay, so, yeah, quickly tell that story to anyone interested. No one's obligated to stay. This we could turn this off. No one's going to be talking about the story on the tape. Because...